This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The New Japan Purocast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com. Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald, and at the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday, March 5th, and ladies and gentlemen, after a week's hiatus, we are back, and Damon, boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. We have at least three shows that happened in our absence that we're going to talk about. We've got the big New Japan 45th anniversary show that is happening tomorrow, March 6th. We've got some New Japan Cup talk to discuss today, and just lots more news and notes going on in the world of New Japan.
Jesus Christ.
Are you ready?
Oh my God, I'm out of breath just thinking of it. God, yeah, this is what happens when you take a week off there, Miller. It was sad to be away for a week, but we are back and better than ever, refreshed and reinvigorated and recharged. And yeah, there's a lot. You take 1 week off and look at what all this shit that happens.
It piles up pretty quickly.
It does. And you know, when you run Cork and Hall every other night, it seemed like, with these Honor Rising shows, and
I think they had like five shows in the span of 9 days, I think it was.
Yeah, and the crowds reflected that. Jeez Louise, there are some empty seats at these shows.
Lots of orange in the audience.
Lots of orange. Those bleachers on the hard camera. Ugh. I saw that and we're on the East Coast here in the United States, so there's the time difference and you lose a day going over there, so they're always a day ahead in Tokyo, but I was like, is this a work day? Is this a holiday that I don't know? Like, what's going on? Is there a traffic jam outside Corgan, the Tokyo Dome City? Like, what's going on? And those seats never filled up, Colin. And that was for both of those Honor Rising shows. And even to a certain degree, the Road 2 show.
Well,
that was,
the first Honor Rising show actually had a pretty good turnout. Mm. But the second one and that Road 2 show that you just mentioned, I mean, just look around and see the sea of orange that I was alluding to earlier, and that says it all.
Yeah, and again, that hard camera shot, usually those bleachers are maybe not packed to the gills, but you know, by and large, they're pretty much shoulder to shoulder sitting on those bleachers, and that's the worst part. Like, you can get away with the orange seats to a certain degree because the cameras aren't, you know, it's not the hard camera shot. Like, when you look at those bleachers, and again, those seats that are reserved for, I think they're reserved for VIPs or
like Damon McDonald.
Exactly, right? You know, when you're sitting up on those that little ramp thing where they come out, those seats are always, you know, there is nobody in those seats. Like the VIP stayed home. Everybody stayed home for these shows. These three shows at least, from the Ring of Honor, Honor Rising shows and the Road 2 show. So, you know, look, I don't think there's anything to be concerned with because just like you had said before, I think those Ring of Honor shows are shows in a bubble, right? If Fantastica Mania is your opportunity for New Japan stars to play Lucha Libre, this is a opportunity for New Japan stars to play American pro wrestling, it feels like.
Right. And it's an opportunity also for the Japanese audience to play American pro wrestling audience as well.
Yeah, and they do. And again, that's why I think they are some of the best fans in the entire world, because they do that. And I think that adds an extra element. So, yeah, they'll do the holy shit chants, and they'll do the this is awesome chants, and the Elite and the Young Bucks certainly were stars of the evenings. And, yeah, I mean, I don't – overall – well, how did you feel about – are we going to start there, or are we going to start somewhere else?
We can start there since you're going there. We can talk about these Honor Rising shows. Well, as a whole, I thought that they were entertaining. I enjoyed them for what they were, but here's the thing that frustrates me about these Honor Rising shows, and it's the same problem that we had last year. The same problem that I had last year with it is that these shows, to me, are an opportunity – to have some really special and unique matches. Like, right. For example, how hard would it have been to book, let's say, Will Ospreay versus Adam Cole? To me, on paper, like, wow, that's a cool match that would be great in front of a Korakuen audience that we haven't seen before. But, you know, instead they go with Yoshihashi. And that match... at no point did I think that Yoshihashi was going to be walking away with the ROH title.
No one did.
Exactly. And it's for that. Well, that's just one of the reasons. But these shows, they're just kind of, they just throw them together. There's nothing special on them, just like there was nothing special on them last year. And Damon, doesn't it seem like when New Japan comes to America, mm-hmm. and let's just use that Las Vegas show that we were at, for example, last year. It seems like they do more special matchups in America than they do in Japan on these joint shows, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they're very similar. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I have when they come over here in the States. Like, over here in the States, you have never, in all the times that they've been here, and how many years have they been doing these joint shows? At least two, right? I think closer to three. They never have a New Japan versus New Japan match. So it's never like a Goto versus Ishii.
Which we were supposed to see, I believe.
Yeah, remember?
They changed it.
They never do that. And for the life of me, I don't know why. But they never, ever do it. And I would think for our audience, in other words, North American audiences, we would salivate at the opportunity to see, you know, I don't know, even a Makabe Yano match. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, just give me that, because we don't get that. I don't want to see the Briscoes against Okada and Ghetto. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that. I want to see, you know, two New Japan guys wrestling in the ring against each other. That's what we want to see.
But even when they do the ROH star versus NJPW star matches, they're not as sexy in Japan as they are in the States, at least to me.
Well, this year, especially, because they ain't got nobody.
Ring of Honor is pretty thin right now, to say the least.
You think? Yeah. I mean, look, they're struggling. They're struggling when it comes to holding on to talent. They're struggling when it comes to, and again, people... And I can't say I agree with all of it, but they do have valid points in the sense of the New Japan relationship benefited. It felt like, you know, from a booking and wrestling perspective, it benefited New Japan to a certain degree more than it benefited Ring of Honor.
Well, I was going to say Ring of Honor needs this New Japan relationship a lot more than New Japan does.
Well, from a pure financial perspective, because guess what? When Tanahashi comes over, when Okada comes over, when Naito comes over, I'm sure the houses greatly improve, right? So, yeah. And again, I think Ring of Honor, I don't know the relationship, but I would guess that they're disappointed in the sense that New Japan is doing shit on their own. Now, that doesn't mean that Ring of Honor guys won't be involved in it. But if this is a solo venture for Ring of Honor and – or excuse me, for New Japan, these West Coast – and they put in air quotes G1 shows, it's got to be a little bit in the back of their mind like, oh, okay, they're going to go out on their own and do these things. Okay. And again, there's a lot of guys that are hopping over to Evolve. Why? Because Evolve is a gateway to, you know, the big time company here in the States. But you know, and look at those Honor Rising shows and those lineups before, and look at them this year. I mean, just up and down the card, there's a lot of bodies that aren't there that made shows a lot more interesting. Again, we named the names, but Roddy Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, even a Moose,
right?
Even a guy like Moose.
Remember when we saw him versus Okada in Las Vegas? Like, there's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I thought that match was solid. That
yes,
was a solid match. And you know, trust me, when that match was booked, when that match was signed, there were a lot of people saying, and I think it was me too.
It was. I remember.
I'm sure it was, because you're thinking, oh my God, you're flying over arguably the best wrestler on the planet against Moose. No offense to Moose, but he's not in that conversation, right? And at that time, again, Ring of Honor had a lot of talent on that roster, and even the New Japan guys, and it was just kind of felt like, oh, Moose is who you're gonna have fucking wrestle Okada. But it turned into a very good match.
Well, they have a new Moose now, and trust me, he's no Moose.
He's no Moose. No, he's a former, if I'm not mistaken, he was trained at the Monster Factory here in southern New Jersey and Paulsboro. So, fun fact there. But yeah, listen, well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to make new stars. They're trying to, you know, they got a lot of open slots and not enough talent to fill those open slots right now. And so I think these Honor Rising shows showed that. Now, with that said, Colin, I was okay with these shows. I was okay with them. They were nothing spectacular. I do think, and again, I said it earlier, the stars coming out of these Honor Rising shows, Young Bucks.
Oh, absolutely.
Young Bucks, man. Let me. Can I just say something about the Young Bucks?
You can say whatever you want about the Young Bucks.
They're known as Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, the Elite. Maybe you've heard of them. Those kids know how to put on a fucking pro wrestling match, and there's not a time. Listen, there are people that might disagree with what they do in the ring, and there are people that might disagree with the overabundance of the super kick. And some of the shenanigans. Colin, guess what? There is not a time when the Young Bucks match is on my television set that I am bored or I am looking for my phone. They do creative, fun, entertaining pro wrestling. That's exactly what they do. And they do it very well, and they've got it down, man. Dude, I don't laugh at pro wrestling all that much because I don't know. Maybe I'm just a grouch. But there was that match, that eight-man tag with Omega and Cody Rhodes. Let me tell you something. That was a fun fucking match.
It was great.
And the Bucks are leading that charge. I loved it. I thought everything they did was entertaining and fun. And, you know, again, name me a boring. You may not like the style, but name me a boring Young Bucks match. You can't do it. It's not in their DNA.
Well, Damon, there is a reason why now going on 3 years in a row, the Young Bucks are the tag team of the year in the Wrestling Observer Awards for 2016.
Yeah, because they travel the world having matches that are entertaining and fun, and leave a, you know, when the crowd leaves and they're the last match, they get their money's worth. That's really it. Like you don't leave a show with the Young Bucks on top and feel like you didn't get your money's worth. That the whole entire card could suck. It could be dull as fuck. It could be just pro wrestling. And then they wrestle whomever, whether it's the Hardys, whether it's your local stars, who cares? Wherever they go, and they go all everywhere. There's another thing. There's something to be said about having that young blood, being a literal young buck, because I don't know how they do it. The travel that they put, the miles that they put in, and they're consistently great matches against a wide variety of different opponents for 3 years straight.
I want to know what happens when they turn 40, though. Do they keep the name?
I mean, listen, they have those genetics. I know, the hair might be thinning in a little bit. You know, they probably got another 2 or 3 years left on the old hair thinning thing. The old Shawn Michaels, I'm going to grow my hair as long as possible and just pull it back gimmick, right? Well, you know that one.
I wish I could do that.
I can't. I can't even do that. I'm long past that. My dad left me with great genes. And I ain't talking about Wranglers.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of entertaining young bucks matches, Damon, probably my favorite match from this First Honor Rising show from last Sunday was the Young Bucks versus War Machine. I thought that was a very good match.
There's another team that's every time they come, War Machine, Briscoes, they hustle. They hustle every time they're here. And again, watching that 8-man tag, it was Briscoes in there with Ospreay and Okada against the Elite and Cody Rhodes. Cody.
You can't say Rhodes.
Can't say
Rhodes. You can get fined for that.
That's such a shame. Listen, I'm not the biggest Cody fan, but that's a crying shame. You know, come on, you can't use Rhodes. That's where pro wrestling gets on my fucking nerves. That kind of shit. Anyway, Briscoes, dead silence. But here's the thing about their dead silence. They always have dead silence, Colin. But then they always find a way to win the crowd in like less than 45 seconds. Less than 45 seconds, the crowd. Oh yeah, I remember the Briscoes. They're great.
Because they work their asses off.
They do. They hustle. Same thing with War Machine. Same thing with War Machine. For guys that size, they shouldn't be doing the shit that they do, and they do it.
And they're a tag team, to me, that fits in perfectly in the tag team, the heavyweight tag team landscape of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, they're a team I want to see more of. How about War Machine versus KES? Well, unfortunately, Archer is injured, but...
Well, again, sometimes when injuries occur, spots open up and people get opportunities. And, you know, not to throw a terrible American football analogy at us, but Tom Brady, that's a name I think everybody can recognize. Well, he was a backup quarterback, kids. He was second string. Guy got hurt. And lo and behold, Tom Brady steps in, and look at the fucking New England Patriots. Tom Brady is a household name worldwide.
That last game was a work, by the way.
I think so, too.
I'm convinced at this point.
Listen, I agree. But anyway, so the injuries to Lance Archer kind of removes KES out of the tag team picture, where I think it was safe to say that they were going to be comfortably slotted with the tag team straps. And now, Colin, unfortunately, we have another injury that is I don't know the severity of it, but very serious on the surface, and we'll keep another tag team on the shelf.
Yes, unfortunately, Tomoaki Honma injured after taking a DDT from Jado on a March 3rd show.
Yeah. So it's like one of those hangman DDTs, right?
Yep.
So again, the feet are draped over the ropes. He's parallel with the mat DDT. The match wasn't televised. The match wasn't shown. So it's kind of hard to say how exactly it happened or what did what. But obviously, he took the bump a little bit wrong. And that happens. Now, again, this is Honma, who we all know has a style that is certainly not gentle on the body.
Some might describe it as reckless.
See, I can't. I wanted to say that.
You wouldn't say that as he's doing a diving headbutt to the outside on the floor on Ishii.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. And listen, that's a very valid point. But I don't know if reckless is the word I would use.
It's very Dynamite Kid-esque. I will say that.
Let's put it this way. You only have so many chips, so many poker chips in life, right? You only have a certain amount that you can, you know, put back into the pot. That's Honma, you know, doubling down on some bets, right? And with very little return on the investment when he hits his 40s and 50s, that's for sure. Those type of moves, yeah, they shave months, if not years, off of people's lives. I can't imagine it not. Now, again, these are trained professional athletes. So I'm not going to say that they're doing things reckless in the sense of they're unsafe to others. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, a diving headbutt from the top rope to the floor. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. You're an adult. You know what to do. You know what's best for you. But yeah, I think that's right,
Damon. I'm not going to tell you not to have that fifth beer.
Right.
But
don't come crawling to me when your kidneys shut down, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. When I said reckless, though, I don't mean, of course, reckless to the opponent that they're working with. Reckless to their own general well-being and health and longevity. And you said it earlier, Honma is 40 years old. He just turned 40 this past November. So he ain't no spring chicken anymore.
No. And you have to consider the fact that this is wear and tear on a body more than any other professional sport. I don't care what anybody says. The every night it's like they've been in a car crash, you know, with the bumps that they take. And yes, you can take a flat back bump and distribute the impact. Okay, there's only so much the body can take. Years of pounding, and these physical style matches that. Not for nothing, across the board, all these guys work. It does take a toll on the body. It has to. I mean, you look at the shelf life of a professional athlete in any sport, and it's very short. Very short. So I would have to – I mean, again, I didn't see the bump. I don't know if it was a direct result of a bump gone bad. But I would have to think that the wear and tear on – a guy like Honma has to play a factor. It just does. You can't dismiss that fact.
And we don't have any information right now as we're recording this. As a matter of fact, by the time you're listening to this, there might be more info out. But
here's what I got. Here's the latest of what I got. I can give you something that I got this morning.
Please.
There's no new news. Nobody's heard anything more. One of the big challenges was I think Elgin was in the match. And Eric actually was chatting with Mike, and Mike had said that he, you know, could move his head. Honma could move his head and talk, but he wasn't sure. And Mike wasn't sure if he could move his hands or legs because he couldn't understand what he was saying.
And that's the disturbing thing to me. The reports of how he couldn't feel anything from the neck down.
Right. Now, again, that could be something as simple as and I put that in air quotes, kids, something as simple as a stinger, you know, so where you get that jolt and the spine kind of shuts down.
Right. Like what happened to Stone Cold after he took the spike pile driver from Owen. He said for a few seconds he couldn't move.
Right. But I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not damage, but it's not paralysis. Right.
Right.
So the latest update is really no update. Unfortunately, there's no update. They're hoping to get an update at the show tonight, tomorrow. So, again, and now here's what begins my speculation. Please let's make sure this is perfectly clear. This is my speculation, which, as we've known in the past, isn't always accurate, all right? So, please. But with that said, if somebody's feeling good and feeling okay, I would think they would let the boys know. You know, hey, Hone was good. We're just going to run some tests. He's going to spend the night, but everything's okay. As opposed to, we don't know. You know, bad news is always delayed, right? So I hope that's not the case. Maybe it's just they're just being prudent and making sure they're dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's before they let anybody know his status. But the fact that nobody knows his status is somewhat troubling to me. But I'm hoping and fingers are crossed and toes are crossed and good thoughts are sent his way. Because, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not comparing the two here, but, you know, the bump that Misawa took when he passed away in the ring was a suplex, which is the back suplex.
Right. A simple maneuver that he's taken 1,000 times.
Yeah. So, and again, it was the wear and tear on the neck and he was not feeling good beforehand. So I don't know, if that had any factors with Honma. I don't know. Again, we don't know, but, and again, it is pure speculation. Haven't seen the match, haven't seen the footage. We just know what everybody else knows at this point, and that's everybody there. So, again, fingers crossed. But what we do know is that he's out. He's out of the
45th anniversary show.
Right. He will not be participating, and they have been replaced with Tenkozy, correct?
That is right.
Okay.
So it's Ishii and Yano versus Tenkozy for this 45th anniversary show on Monday.
Okay. I mean, again, I'm not going to sit there and wag a finger at New Japan for putting in Tenkozy. This is a quick stop. You know, we needed a tag team to fill this role very quickly. They were there.
Right. And who else are you going to put in that slot?
Well, again, KES being banged up is you know, that couldn't come at a worst goddamn time. I mean, I don't know the status of War Machine. I don't know the status of the Briscoes. I don't know if they could have stuck around a little bit longer or gone home and flown back or what the situation was there. But yeah, I mean, that was the easiest, quickest. Let's get this match filled. Let's turn our attention toward getting Honma better. But yeah, if we need somebody to fill a role, we got two guys that can easily fit in there.
And hopefully by the time everyone is listening to this, we have some good news that comes out about Honma. And I'm looking at the bracket for the New Japan Cup, which we're going to talk about a little later in the show. And one of the potential matches that we could be seeing, if Honma is back and ready, we could potentially see Tanahashi versus Honma, which would be a kick-ass match.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. I don't think you're going to see Honma in New Japan Cup.
I don't think so either, sadly. But yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see him. I don't think you'll see him for a little bit. I would be surprised. When you're talking about neck injuries, man, you know, I was surprised when you saw David Finley back so quickly from his torn labrum.
When we were going over the card, we were like, "Is this correct?
Yeah,
Finley back already?"
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with that one. And even El Desperado with the knee.
Yep, he's back.
He's back. So, but this is a neck. This is something, you know, when you talk about neck and cervical damage and that kind of stuff, man, you can't fuck with that. And here's the thing. In the grand scheme of things in New Japan, can Honma take, you know, a month, 2 months off? Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's not in like the Tanahashi position or the Okada position, certainly.
Right. He's a great guy to have on a card. You can get a quality match. In a lot of cases, you're going to get a great match. He's an entertaining character. He's
you've got to remember, Honma was in not one, but two Match of the Year candidates in last year's PuroCast End of Year Awards for 2015.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest memories I've ever had was him winning against Ishii in the G1. He got his first win.
Were you there for that?
I was there for that, yes. Yes. So that was amazing. That was an amazing moment. And then afterward, he was on the train platform. I took a sneaky picture of him.
I remember that.
after his big win. So yeah, I mean, he's a top guy. Now, is he a little dry as toast at this point with the, you know, the kind of tweener loser, not loser kind of guy? Yeah. Could he use a fresh coat of paint? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, he needs his health to come back first. Let's be clear on that. But again, a little time away makes the heart grow fonder, maybe. And maybe this also helps him kind of get a dust off and a new coat of paint, as they say, to kind of jumpstart him and his career. So there you go. That's home. That's what we know for right now. Hopefully we get some good news later on today.
Well, Damon, before we move forward to the New Japan Roadshow and talking about the New Japan Cup, final thoughts on these two Honor Rising shows. Matches of the night from night one for me were number one, War Machine versus the Young Bucks. I thought that was a very good match.
Yeah, agreed.
And number two, the Briscoes versus Omega and Adam Cole from night one. I have a question for you. I have to ask you this.
Go ahead.
What did you think of Tanahashi and Taguchi as the boys?
Yeah. I got a lot of texts. I got a lot of, hey, did you see this yet? You're going to love this thing. Again, this is, to me, if Fantastica Mania is a time for New Japan guys to play luchadors, this is a time for them to play American pro wrestling. I thought it was, it was funny. I laughed. It was fine.
I know you're not the biggest Dalton Castle guy, but
I think he's a good wrestler. I don't. People like the gimmick more than I like the gimmick. It's okay. I mean, he works the gimmick well. I think what he does with the character is tremendous. I don't particularly like the character.
And that's the thing, like, I'm usually not a big comedy pro wrestling guy, but for whatever reason, I guess it's like you said, because he works this character so well, this human peacock gimmick that he's got going on. I just, and the whole, Foxy Shazam, Freddie Mercury vibe, I don't know, the guy just, there's something about him that just clicks with me.
It is a unique spin on a age-old pro wrestling gimmick, right? So, I mean, we've seen similar varieties to certain degrees. I think he's been able to expand and grow and evolve that kind of Adrian Street, that kind of somewhat feminine pro wrestling role that, when you look back at the 80s and the 70s and, you watch back some of those tapes and it is kind of embarrassing in the way that they were molded and delivered to a pro wrestling crowd and the way the pro wrestling crowd would react to it, right? You really harped on like homophobia and just, really low brow kind of thing. You could do the same thing about Adrian Adonis, when he did it. But I think Dalton has taken that type of stereotypical, bullshitty, effeminate pro wrestler gimmick and has made it his own. And he has taken it to a new level and he's given it a new dimension, should I say. You know what I mean? And that I definitely can see. And I think he's done that an outstanding job with that. Again, the human peacock thing, okay, it's not my thing, but that's okay. It's lots of people's things. People dig the gimmick, and I think he's a very good wrestler. I would like to see him be able to showcase that a little bit more than the feathers and the long cape and the boys and all that stuff. To answer your question, that was funny. Listen, if you're gonna get Tanahashi to be a young boy or one of his boys. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny. And Taguchi, of course. I mean, who else are you going to get?
That's right up his alley.
Yeah, I mean, listen, talk about right up his alley. With Taguchi and Takahashi, can we talk about this for just one second?
Sure, absolutely.
There were a couple times where they were going to kiss.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just go right out and say it. Like, Taguchi, they were just wagging tongues in each other.
He was ready to plant a Frencher on Takahashi.
I'm just like, get it over with, boys. Just get in there. Get in there and get a good one. And there were times where it felt like Takahashi was breaking some character. Like, he was even kind of giggling a little bit. A lot of licking. A lot of licking going on.
A lot of tongue action.
A lot of tongue action. All right. So we're all over the map here. So Honor Rising overall, thumbs up, thumbs down, both shows. What are you giving it?
Thumbs in the middle. Because, again, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed watching both of these shows. But, again, nothing blow away that you really have to go out of your way to see. I would say Night 1, War Machine versus the Young Bucks. Definitely check that out.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And Night 2, the main event with the Briscoes, Okada, and Ospreay versus the Elite and Cody. Very good match.
I agree with that as well. I think those two matches, if you have to cherry pick out of those, those are the two that you're going with. Everything else is, again, okay.
Two more thoughts about this Honor Rising, and then we'll move on. Number one, Damon, I've got to get your take on Punisher Martinez. I think our listeners are dying to hear the Damon McDonald view.
Well, look, he's young. He's green as fuck.
Can I just say it?
Go ahead.
He's a shitty Baron Corbin.
I don't want to go that far. He's put in a spot right now that he shouldn't be in. Given his talent and time in the ring and experience, there is a big shoes to try to fill. Listen, Ring of Honor are trying. He's got the build. He's got the size and the physique.
He's got the touch.
He's got the look, as Roxette would sing. Another Roxette. We do a lot of Roxette here on the hits of the 80s here on the Purecast. Let's put it this way. Is he Doc Gallows-esque? I think he's right now. Would you take Doc Gallows or would you take Punisher Martinez?
Oh, Doc Gallows is a much more seasoned wrestler than Punisher Martinez is. I'm telling you, Baron Corbin of WWE fame is better than Punisher Martinez right now, and that's
wow.
That's not saying a lot.
You didn't like the match. You didn't like the match with Goto?
No,
I thought it was okay. Again, I wasn't expecting a miracle. And again, where he is in his pro wrestling development. He's in that's a tough, you know, to co-headline a show at Corrigan.
I don't know how many years this guy has been wrestling, but you're right. To be flown over to Japan.
First time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. First time ever wrestling for New Japan in Japan, you know, wrestling Hiroki Goto.
Right.
Singles
match.
That is a very tough spot to be put in at this stage in your career. And Perhaps I am being a bit too harsh.
My first time in Japan, I couldn't even order a beer, right? This guy's going to have a match, right?
Right.
Right. Now, listen, this is not soft spot Damon here, but it is what it is. Like, you know, I can't lay the boots to a guy who is in a spot like that. Now, listen, somebody's going to email us or tweet us or whatever and say, Punisher Martinez was in five matches for, you know, Basara or some indie promotion.
I really don't think he has been, though.
I don't think so either. I do know, like I said, I do know that he was trained at the Monster Factory and he's a rather recent graduate. So, again, he doesn't have a lot of experience in that. And that's a big spot. So I think he did okay given who he is and where he is. Is that spot unwarranted? Well, listen, if you can get the work, good for you. But yeah, he ain't ready for that spot. He ain't ready for that spot.
Did you listen to the Kenny Omega after show interview? I can't remember if it was from Night 1 or Night 2. But in that interview, I believe he called Tanahashi, and I quote,
fucker.
An old fucker.
Yeah, I did see that. That was after the eight-man tag. I did see that. I don't think he appreciated that.
I don't think so either, but it looks like Omega pushing for that feud with Tanahashi down the line. And again,
see,
I don't
know what's going on. I don't know what's going on because there's shit that happens that just happened, like this whole Shibata Suzuki thing.
Yeah, that happened on the New Japan Road Show.
Yeah, well, okay, that's like we're building toward those singles matches with at New Japan Cup. And
yep.
Evil and Tanahashi, the same thing, right?
Yep, Evil and Tanahashi.
So I don't think that we're looking for long-term things, right?
But we could be looking at a New Japan Cup final with Tanahashi versus Omega.
Hmm.
That could happen, Damon. I'm looking
at
the brackets right now. Right. I don't want to jump ahead, but
we'll talk about that in a second. But overall thoughts, again, I think they were okay. I agree with your first night assessment. I agree with and again, I'm all like, we had so many shows that they're starting to blend into each other. Where was Shibata Osprey?
Where were Shibata and Osprey during these Honor Rising shows?
No, I know where Osprey was. Osprey took the fall to Cody in this eight-man tag.
Yes, he
again,
did.
I don't know what he's done wrong in somebody's eyes, but that guy can't get a win for the life of me. For the life of him. Briscoe couldn't take the fucking fall there?
No, like Mark couldn't lay down?
Right. Jay couldn't lay down? Osprey. Again, the only thing I can give you is he was a junior, or he is a junior, and we know how that line in the sand, right? You look at that match, the Elite were going over, right? So that we knew that, right? The only junior on the other side was Will Ospreay. Do you think of him as a junior? I don't think of him as a junior.
You don't think of Will Ospreay as a junior?
I don't, because he wrestles so many different people. Like you take him out of Japan and he wrestles everybody, right?
Well,
you put him in Japan and he's got to be a junior.
And wouldn't that make him a perfect contender for Goto's never open weight title?
Well, yeah, okay, yes, but which leads me to my question was, what show was Shibata and Will Ospreay?
Shibata versus Will Ospreay was on the last show, the second New Beginning show, the one featuring Naito and Michael Elgin.
Oh, okay, good. We already talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because all these things are blending into each other. I'm losing my skull here.
I know there's so many shows that happened within the past couple weeks. So moving away from Honor Rising and moving on to New Japan Road, which happened on March 1st at Korakuen, leading up, of course, to the big 45th anniversary show. Damon, what did you think of this show?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Give me the main event was the Tiger Masks, right?
Yes, it was Okada and Ghetto versus Tiger Mask W and Tiger Mask 4.
I thought the show was cut of the same cloth or a similar cloth to the shows that we saw earlier, right? With the Honor Rising shows.
I thought that that tag match was a great main event, by the way.
Again, you had to wait until the main events to really kind of sink your teeth into something really juicy. Colin, can I say something about the Tiger Mask shit?
You may. And
I'm sick of the Tiger Mask shit.
Amen.
Can we take the fucking mask off the poor guy?
Amen.
I don't know what it is.
They did change the mask up a bit, though, so he can be more mobile.
Fucking do. I'm tired of the mask. I'm tired. Come on. Listen, this is what everybody wants. Nobody wants W. Nobody wants W. You want Kota Ibushi.
I have a great idea, and this isn't really an original thought. I'm sure many people have thought this same thing. But, okay, so let's just say that Tiger Mask W defeats Okada at the 45th anniversary show, then at the end unmasks and it's revealed that all along Tiger Mask W is actually one Kota Ibushi, and this sets up an IWGP heavyweight title shot for, I don't know, Genesis, Dontaku, take your pick.
All right, well let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let's play
Ghetto.
Well, okay, yes, but let's play pro wrestling is real.
What?
Let's get out of let's get out of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
What are you talking about?
Let's look at our top 10. Let's do all that.
Okay.
This is a title match, correct? Between W and Okada.
No.
Okay. No, this is not a title match.
No, and I'll even double check right now.
This is a non-title match?
Damon, this is a non-title match. This is just Okada versus Tiger Mask W in a special exhibition. It's kind of like Apollo Creed versus Drago. It was just supposed to be an exhibition.
Right, look at what happened.
Until shit got real.
Yeah. I got a movie reference from Colin, everyone. Yay, me! I didn't know this was an exhibition. I didn't know this was a non-title affair.
Yep, 30-minute time limit, singles match, one-on-one, Okada, Tiger Mask, W.
Okay. And you're saying W gets the sneaky win?
Yep, W picks up the sneaky win, unmasks. We all see it's Kota Ibushi.
And it's Mitsuharu Misawa. What? No?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's Kota Ibushi.
It's okay. Kota Ibushi.
Seems like I heard this angle somewhere before. Okay. all right.
Like, well, I said it's not an original thought.
Right.
But
right.
It seems to make
sense.
Some
of the best angles. Right. Some of the best angles in the world, you know, you're going to see, you know, 15, 20 years later, repeated. Why? You know, because it worked. No, nothing wrong with that. Right. That's pro wrestling.
I just think that's a perfect way to set up Okada versus Ibushi for the title.
I would love that.
I know you would.
Can we get that? I'll take that.
You would book airfare to Japan right now if you knew that was happening.
Let me tell you something. Don't that's not a far-fetched thing to say.
And you would pay for my airfare as well.
What?
You would take me.
We need some money coming in. We're the most famous nobodies ever. we don't make a dime. I'd like to get comped tickets, for Christ's sake. Okay. I like this I like this. If we could do this, I would be all on board with this. I would put up with the W bullshit. I would put up with this for the
W bullshit would just be for one night.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. If in fact we this led to a win, Colin, give me on a scale of 1 to 10 the likelihood of that occurring. Because I got to be honest with you, here's what I smell.
It's a 4.
I smell a clean pinfall win from Okada.
Truth be told, that is what I smell as well. And by the time you're listening to this, you may already know the outcome.
Well, yeah, sure. But okay, so let's say
these weekday shows are killing us, by the way.
Yeah, these Mondays. Oh, come on, guys.
New Japan should know that we record this fine broadcast on a weekend.
Right. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners, people.
We do.
Come on, accommodate us. It just sucks too, because you got to wake up and it's like, oh, you're getting dressed for work and you're trying to watch a wrestling show. All right, so am I on board with that scenario? I am, Colin. Do I think it's going to happen? It would be nice. Yeah, but I think 4. I'll go so far as to say a 5 of the likelihood of that happening. It does smell like an Okada clean 1-2-3 over the Dubs. The Dubs.
That's your nickname for Tiger Mask W?
TM Dubs.
TM Dubs.
That's going to be my new rap name.
You know what my rap name is?
What's that?
It's C-Mill.
C-Mill?
Yeah.
Oh, C-Mill, Colin
there,
Miller,
there
right?
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, all so right. Truth be told, I don't think that is very likely to happen, my fantasy scenario. But then again, you never know.
The non-title stipulation does make one think a little bit harder about this match.
Is that a red herring?
Might be a red herring. Again, maybe we're trying to see a little bit too much into it. But again, non-titles mean in pro wrestling usually mean some shenanigans is in the air. Some shenanigans is in the air. So let's see. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Anything else from this New Japan Road Show that caught your attention?
No.
Actually, there's one thing that caught my attention.
Oh, what's that?
Juice Robinson picking up the win for his team, getting pinning Bushi, who, you know, not for nothing, but, you know,
he's a junior.
Right, Bushi's a junior, but I mean, he's a pretty big star. He's in the hottest stable in New Japan right now.
What's juice? A heavyweight.
Right,
and,
but
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're doing some things with juice.
He could have easily gotten misted. Just saying.
Juice?
Yeah.
Juice ain't lying down for a while. Juice ain't lying down for a while. They've invested this whole entire year in Juice so far. He ain't taking the mist. No. No, Bushi's the guy. Bushi's the guy. And again, he's a junior. He's the C-level Los Ingobernables. Evil ain't taking a fall. Right?
No.
Fucking Naito is not taking a fall.
No.
Sonata, probably not taking a fall, right?
No, but Bushi, still, he is a member of LIJ.
Well, look, if the baby faces have got to go over, Bushi's lying down. Bushi's the bottom feeder.
Alrighty, well, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Juice is continuing to pick up momentum, you know, pin some, in my eyes, stars. You know,
yeah.
Bushi is a star. So.
Yeah, well, I would agree, but again,
happy to see that.
Me too. Listen, they're not pussyfooting around with this juice push.
No,
they're giving him every opportunity, and so far he's shining. He's definitely shining. They're not shying away from giving him every advantage they can to put him over. So that's good. That's how it's done.
Well, Damon, before we move on to this New Japan 45th anniversary show that we're going to preview, we're also going to talk a little New Japan Cup. I am very happy to announce that we are now proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Listen, I think one of the biggest questions we get on this show, and even just in general, is where can I get the Puro merch, right? The t-shirts, the caps, the programs, the cards.
That's one of my questions.
Well, right. Well, now you got an answer. So, yeah, I am thrilled that we have a partnership and a sponsorship, if you will, because this is a quality service. Guys, you can get your Los Ingobernables t-shirts. You can get your Los Ingobernables caps. You can get your Stardom programs and cards and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff straight from Japan, Colin.
Right.
You're not talking about, you know, some...
It's not coming from a warehouse in Jersey somewhere is what you're saying.
Exactly. You're getting it straight from the source. So I'm thrilled that we have this partnership. Gaijin Collectibles. Again, check them out. Shop there for all your Puro merch needs. I can't recommend it strongly enough. And again, you got a resource. They're in Japan. They're getting the stuff direct from the promotions and their stores. So it's almost like it's a shopping service where you can pick up the stuff direct from the promotions. I don't think you can beat that.
No, what could be better?
Nothing. Nothing. So check him out. Give him the URL, Colin.
Yeah, so it is GaijinCollectibles.com, and that is GAIJIN Collectibles.com.
Right. One-stop shop for all your Puro merch needs. Check him out. Tell him we sent you.
Yeah.
And spread the good word. Tell your friends. Quality products, quality prices, good people. Quality customer service. You're not gonna lose. So check them out. Colin, the URL once again, please.
GaijinCollectibles.com, and when you go there, links to all social media are directly on the website: Facebook, Twitter. You can view all of their great products that they've got, and it's just great, easy to access, simple website. Like Damon said, you're getting all of this straight from the land of the rising sun, Japan.
Yes, so check them out. All right, there we go. Our first sponsorship read. Not really read, but, you know, ad lib. Not bad, right, Colin, right?
No, not too shabby, Damon. Not too shabby. And we're going to move right along here. And let's say we do a little preview of this 45th anniversary show and then talk a little New Japan Cup action. So let's get into that.
Let's do it.
All right, this show is going to kick off with a match I'm actually kind of looking forward to. This is Nakanishi versus Oka. And Damon, do you remember that Undertaker versus Undertaker match from the 94 SummerSlam?
Yes.
That's kind of what this is to me.
Right, I knew you were going to say that.
Because I've said it many times, Oka, at least to me, he looks just like Nakanishi.
Exactly. I swear to you, there was one of these shows where he was going into the ring, and I was like, wow, kind of a weird spot for Nakanishi to open up a show. Anyway, I was like, wait, no, that's not him. That's okay. Yeah, it would be two peas in a pod wrestling against each other. So, again, I don't think that there's any shock of who's going over and who's going under. But, hey, did we talk about Hinare?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. So there's something that we didn't cover. Again, it was wasn't it Oka who was in the ring with him and Hinare? Singles match. Hinare jammed up his. It looked like he got caught in the ring.
Oh, was that during the Makabe show by any chance?
I get him confused, Colin. It could have been. Maybe. Yeah. Probably.
I want to say that was during the Makabe show.
It might have been
the 20th anniversary show.
Yeah.
I do remember that, though. Something happened with Hinare. I don't know the severity of it, but...
Oh, I saw it, and like I said, it looked like he was coming off the ropes. They were doing the shoulder block spot, and he was coming off the ropes, and it just... His foot got, like, you know, he's looking to move forward, and the one foot didn't want to go anywhere, and that was that, and he went down, and he tried to get back up, and the ref was kind of... hesitant to do the dreaded, you know, X in the ring, and he tried to get up, but he could not put any weight on it, and then they just stopped the match. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think we covered that, but okay. So I'm not that kind of not kind of sucks. That really sucks. There's another injury. There's a lot of injuries going on around here, Colin.
Yeah, it's kind of like the flu here on the East Coast. I mean, everybody seems to have it. It's contagious.
Yeah. Well, listen. I don't know the severity. I don't think anything was officially announced if it was a broken ankle or if it was ligaments or whatever. But yeah, he got taken out on a stretcher. So that was not good. This match again, it should be.
I can't wait for this match. This is going to be awesome. Oh my God. If Oka does his belly to belly on Nakanishi, that's the biggest pop of the night right there for me.
Yeah, two big bulls going at it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You like that. You like that style, don't
I
you?
I do.
Two like, big horses.
Like Ishii, like his t-shirt says, tough and hard.
You like it tough and hard.
Yes.
<don't> you?
You know me, Damon.
I sure do. All right, let's put our pants back on and let's move on to the second match, shall
we? We've got a little eight-man tag action going on. Chaos versus Suzuki Goon. So we've got Jado, Ghetto, Yoshihashi, and Goto taking on Takemichi Noku, El Desperado, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Minoru Suzuki.
Hmm. Well, I think...
Suzuki picks up the win
yeah.
on either Jado or Ghetto.
Yeah, makes sense. How about Goto... Suzuki in there.
That'd yeah, nice. that's certainly interesting.
That's the thing I think I will be circling in that particular match looking forward to. Not much of anything else, to be truthful. But yeah, I think Suzuki-Goon picks up the win here. And they could use a win. They've been falling on a little bit of hard times, right?
Well,
they
not can... only that, but I think that they're going to use this match as sort of a build to the New Japan Cup. So that's why I think it makes sense for Suzuki to get the pinfall.
Yeah. Well, who does Suzuki have the first round?
I do.
Oh, Suzuki. Look at you. Mr.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
Or in this case, Colin on the spot. Yeah. Suzuki has Shibata.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In his first round.
That's right. Oh, okay. All right.
Did you just... Never mind.
Yeah, my pant. Yeah, I think I just did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a mess to clean up here. Sorry.
I thought so.
All right. Let's move on.
All right, we've got a 10-man tag coming up after that. We've got Finley, Tiger Mask, Liger, Nagata, and Makabe. taking on G.O.D., Yujiro, Bad Luck Fale, and Kenny Omega. You may have heard of him.
Wow. Kenny taking a night off with the old 10-man tag.
Well, hey, he's got a big cup coming up.
Yeah, I mean, listen, God bless. That's save, conserve your energy for the cup. Boy, this is going to be a gigantic schmazaroo.
It sure is.
Let me ask you a question, too.
Okay.
I'm going to pose a question to you. Is there any concern? I'm going to give you a scale of 1 to 10. Listeners, I'll give it to you the same. So if you're in your car, hold up your fingers, please. Not that finger.
We can't see them, but.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I can. I see what you're doing. Stop it.
It's very Orwellian, Damon.
I know. Scale of 1 to 10. Are you concerned, or what is your level of concern with the fact that Kenneth Omega was to sign a new deal in February with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we haven't heard dick all about it? We haven't heard – there's no press conference. You would think there would be some type of press conference. You think there would be some type of announcement. You think there would be some type of terms disclosed.
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yes.
Straight from the heart?
Straight up.
I think that what Kenny Omega is basically doing right now is for the next year, he's going to be tying up some loose ends in Japan, taking on a lot of opponents who he's never faced before, perhaps getting that elusive match with Ibushi, a rematch with Okada. He's tying up some loose ends for a year. Then he's heading to New York. That's what I think is happening.
Okay.
1 year contract, you know, getting some things done, TCB, then he's out.
Right. Right, he's tying up some real estate investment opportunities, cleaning them up, man.
Yep, trying to get that apartment in Orlando, you know?
Selling his DVD collection.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. So the scale is high for you. You're concerned with the fact that you haven't heard anything.
Yeah, sure, that's what he even said in that Observer interview, he decided he's going to be in New Japan for at least another year.
Right. I just thought I'd throw it out there because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything.
Well, I think it's a question that should be pondered and talked about because, you know, like you said, it's been all little quiet on the Western Front.
Again, he's there. He's in the cup. He's you know, when in that 8-man tag, there's a lot of subtle and not so subtle interaction with Okada that had me raring to go and wanting to see this match again. So, I mean, listen, he's here. He's here for this year. I just thought I would bring that up.
And to kind of further the speculation a little bit more and to kind of add fuel to my theory, like, as I was saying, Omega, there's a lot of guys who he hasn't worked with yet, who he wants to work with. I mean, he has the opportunity in this cup alone to work with two of his dream opponents in the New Japan Cup. He's going to have the opportunity to work with Ishii, who he mentioned as a dream opponent, and he'll have the opportunity potentially to work with Tanahashi once again and to have possibly a classic matchup with him. So there you go. There's two things on his bucket list crossed off right there.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, I don't. Who am I one to be conspiracy theorists? But I just thought it was an interesting thing that we haven't really heard anything about it. And I mean, maybe it is signed. Maybe he did sign. Maybe it's everything's hunky dory. I don't know. I just thought you would hear something about it. Okay,
we'll see what happens.
All right, very good. All right, what else we got? We got a lot of tags. What do we got after this?
After this, we have another tag.
Oh, goody.
This time, though, it is for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles. We've got Roppongi Vice defending against Tai Chi and Kanemaru, who, Damon, I think they suck. I'll just be blunt.
Okay.
Well,
all right. you're not a fan, huh?
More so Tai Chi than Kanemaru.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of this tag team. God willing, Roppongi Vice just beats them. I have no interest in seeing these two teams go back and forth and chasing each other. Please, just get this out of the way.
Yeah, it's the dirt worst. Yep. And I have a very strange feeling that we're going to be seeing a title change. And you'll be seeing more fun from the bottom feeder Suzuki Goon faction. Sadly. So that would be my prediction. A title change here. But I'm in the same boat as you, Colin. I don't want to see it any more than you do. It's just...
But we're going to see it.
It's just... Blech, just fucking horrible. I really am not a fan. I'm really not a fan.
How is Tai Chi a junior heavyweight, by the way?
Dude, oh, come on.
And Kanemaru, for that matter. And Beretta. Basically, the only junior heavyweight here is Rocky Romero.
Beretta's like Andre the fucking Giant.
What's he, like 6'5"?
Right.
230?
Right, 362. come on. Right. All right, let me ask you this. I know that you don't have any interest in it, but do you think it could be a good match? I think it could be can it be a good match?
Damon, you're looking at a 3-star ceiling.
Yeah. I'm trying to be optimistic, Damon, today.
No, don't. No? There is no hope.
There's no...
That's my message for today, ladies and gentlemen.
There is no hope.
There's no hope.
All right. Watch it be 10 stars. It won't be.
No, 3-star ceiling, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I don't... But here's the thing. Roppongi can be very good.
Roppongi is very good.
Yeah.
But Tai Chi is not.
Yeah, he gets -2 stars just for walking out. You know what I mean?
With his...
Like, he's fighting an uphill fucking battle with me.
With his mask and his mic stand.
Oh, and the stupid, that slick back hair and the mic stand. How does anybody like him?
Maybe he's there on purpose because they know how he infuriates many people.
He infuriates us, but you know who, like, I was talking to someone over there, and they were saying that there are large pockets of the female fan base that find him attractive.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
Really?
I can kind of see that.
I was like, him? I could not see that.
Look, he's no Kota Ibushi.
Right. Kota Ibushi.
Oh, there's a
guy you could snuggle with.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have the Kota Ibushi snuggle pillow, Damon?
No, but I'll tell you what I do have. I own a magazine. Uh-oh. It's completely 100% dedicated to Kota Ibushi. There are some pictures. He's nude on a horse. He's like, I swear. I mean, you don't see like dong or anything, but like, the way the shot is taken, like his hip is covering his most private of areas. There's some shots in there. It's like Playgirl, for crying out loud. my wife was like, why do you have this? I was like, I don't
why
know.
Not?
Right. I was like, what are you saying? yeah, they're racy. They're racy photos. But yeah, I could see Kota Ibushi. I could see even like a Naito, like, you know, a little bit of the bad boy, you know, the rebel-y.
How about Shibata? Here's a handsome looking fellow.
Shibata? My wife is a big fan of the Shibata.
Yeah.
You
better watch out. Shibata's been known to...
He'd kick my face inside out. he'd make me eat my own foot.
Shibata gets around.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's true too. He's
speaking of Shibata, Damon, how about this next match? A rematch from Rev Pro for the British heavyweight title. Shibata versus Zack Sabre Jr. And let me tell how happy I am that Zack Sabre Jr. is in New Japan now. He, to me, one of the top 10 pro wrestlers in the world today.
You like that. You like his style. He's got a very that British style, that world of sport kind of style.
Yes.
But he does incorporate that. He does. We were talking at Dalton Castle, how, you know, you make that style your own and you take the elements of it and evolve that.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Pun intended. He's great. I'm a big fan as well. So I can't believe, we haven't talked about that. Now, again, is he coming? What is he coming in as? Is he coming in as a heavyweight or is he coming in as a fucking junior?
That's what I'm confused about. because, you know, he is, or he was, the British heavyweight champion. But then again, Ospreay was also challenging for the heavyweight champion while he was the cruiserweight champion at the same time. So it gets, the lines are a bit blurred. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Zack Sabre Jr. in that regard, but my hope is that he's, at the very least, in, like, never title contention, perhaps.
Yeah. That's an exciting pickup. That's an exciting pickup. The talent that New Japan has is pretty fucking amazing. That pickup was, and here's what's pretty telling too. A lot of those guys cut from that same cloth, right? When you think of like a Zack Sabre Jr., you think of, I personally kind of think of, again, not necessarily style wise, but I guess where they are in the world of pro wrestling, like him and Ospreay and Kota Ibushi and, ACH maybe, a lot of guys not putting the pen to paper to New York, which is somewhat refreshing. Now, I don't know if it's WWE not signing them or
I think it's because they can honestly make a better living and work less outside of that system.
Yeah, I would agree. But for whatever the reason, New Japan gets to reap the benefit of that, which I think is great.
It's good
for
us.
It is. Here's the challenge, though. This roster, Colin, we gotta cut some people, and I don't want to. I hate saying that because I'm a huge proponent of giving people opportunities and jobs and a healthy everybody making money and making a living as a pro wrestler. But when you look up and down this roster, there is only so many spots. This is why you have 710 man tag matches.
They need to do a brand split, Damon. We'll have two IWGP heavyweight titles. We'll have the IWGP heavyweight title and the IWGP universal title. Damn it.
Yeah. We'll have Gedo's son in the most important match go against like Okada at the Tokyo.
Yes. Now that's what I want to see in my pro wrestling.
You're going to see it.
I can't wait.
Oh, stop. Really?
I can't. It's going to be so much fun to chant Goldberg.
Let me tell you, first of all, let's get this out in the open, and we'll come back to the Zach talk. Yeah. Are you doing a fucking meetup?
I want to. I just don't know an appropriate venue for that.
Pick a bar. Pick a restaurant. Here's what you do. Not just a bar, but pick like a restaurant bar.
Well,
and here's the thing. Something that's like not too high-end, right? Not too low end. Like you're not going to go to a goddamn McDonald's, right?
No.
So like a TGI Fridays. Or
Miller's
something.
Ale House is a good place.
That's a great place.
In Orlando. And I've kind of been toying with the notion. I wonder how willing some of the listeners would be to drive onto Disney property and meet me at a bar somewhere there. Because they have
zero.
Yeah, you think so?
I mean, here's the thing.
It's a little bit of a drive.
One, it's a little bit of a drive. Two, it's... you got to play the park, right?
I'm not sure how it works in their downtown Disney area now.
And then you got to pay to get into the place, right? Then you got to get paid to get in, right?
No, not to the downtown Disney area.
Like if you wanted to go have a meetup at a bar in a place in like a Disney property, you got to go into the Disney property, right?
Right, but you don't have to pay to get in. It's not like you're not going to Epcot. I'm not talking about doing this in the Magic Kingdom.
Do it on Space Mountain.
Hey.
Have a meetup there.
Ric Flair will be there.
Just pick fucking Miller's Ale House, dude. And
yeah, just trying to think of a good time to do it because I'm not going to any other shows. I'm getting in on a Saturday afternoon, you know. That Saturday evening, I'm not going to feel like going to fucking Ring of Honor, you know, driving all over the... I'm going to want to relax and... have a few drinks, get something to eat.
Right.
So I'm basically just going to Mania. I'm not going to NXT. I'm not going to ROH. I'm not going to Evolve. This is just a relaxing vacation for me, folks. So
right. It just happened to fall in line with WrestleMania.
Right. That's basically it. That's basically it. Somebody bought the tickets for me. I'm going, you know. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe either a Saturday evening, a Sunday afternoon, although I think there's Evolve shows going on in the afternoon. There's so much shit going on that it's kind of difficult for me to pinpoint a time and a venue right now, but I'll figure it out.
All right. Keep posted on the Twitter machine. Colin will fucking fix
it. I have a feeling by the time we record, next weekend. I will have a time and a place.
Are we doing a show that day?
That's very interesting. That's an interesting question, Damon. April 2nd is a Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can record. We'll figure this out.
Why don't you do what I do? I lug this fucking laptop to Japan.
Oh, I'll probably. I don't even need to take my laptop. I can do this right on my iPad.
Really? Look at you. Man, you are fancy. All right, very good. So that's that. So we don't know what the fuck's happening with the meetup for Mania, but Miller will Miller at the Miller's Ale House.
Hey, that's right. That's my I own that joint.
Double Miller for WrestleMania weekend. All right, Colin will keep you posted on the Twitter machine. All right, so getting back to this, Zach Sabre Jr.
Level of excitement, Damon, for Shibata versus Zach Sabre Jr. And did you see their first match?
I did not yet.
Oh, you need to check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't.
The Rev Pro streaming service.
Yeah, I think they put it up on New Japan World too, right? Didn't they?
You know what? They may have. They are putting a lot of that stuff up.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, no, I haven't. Shockingly enough, I have not watched that. So I gotta get cracking on that. I might do that. Maybe I might do that tonight. That
yeah,
might
you
be a
should.
Good idea. All right. So that's that. And then I'm excited for that. What do you want? You want a number? 1216. How about that?
All right. That's a good round number.
Yeah.
Next match, IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles, Ishii and Yano versus Kojima and Tenzan.
It is what it is. I mean, they had to just shove a match in there.
Here, let me ask you this. What are the odds of a title change
Zero.
Here?
Zero.
Zero? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 0.01%. Do you think there's really going to be a title change?
Not that this matters, but Ishii is going to be in the New Japan Cup. And I don't know, it would kind of be nice for him to have that tag title off of him at that point.
That anchor?
Yeah, essentially. That's what it is.
No, I don't think they will. I don't think they'll make the switch. But, I don't think they will. And again, I'm not going to shit on the fact that it's this match. And I think, here's the thing. I think it has the possibility of being a good match. I don't care if it's Tenkozy, man. Tenkozy, like, if they take enough, you know, they drink enough Red Bulls and take enough
Vicodin,
yeah, or whatever they need, they can get through a good match. This could be a good match. Here's the thing. This could be a good match, or it could be one of those quickie-do, Yano, ball shot, hair pull, 1-2-3 type of matches.
Which is what it's most likely to end up
as. Do you think that's what we're getting?
Yeah, probably. It's a safe bet.
Yeah, it would get him in and out.
That's what it always is with Yano.
Yeah.
Now, you want to talk about guys that could be cut? Toru Yano.
Really?
Yeah.
Would be on your list?
Him and about 90% of Suzuki Goon. Like, the only Suzuki Goon members that I would keep are, of course, Suzuki, number one.
Right.
Davey
right.
Boy Smith Jr.
Right.
Archer. Although, you know, he's out, but...
Okay.
That's it.
No Taku.
No. He doesn't need to be there.
Okay. No El Despo.
No.
Okay.
Colin. We'll keep Azuka. How about that?
I was about to say, you're going to keep fucking... Yeah?
Right.
Really?
No, we're not going to keep Azuka.
We're not keeping him?
No, of course not.
What about Nakanishi?
You have to keep him. Damn it. He has the best flying crossbody in the business. Right. He's a joy to watch.
Nakanishi, you know, W.
Jog out in his monster morning t-shirt. Yeah, we have to keep Nakanishi.
All right, we have to keep him.
You can't just go firing these old veterans.
That's what you're doing here. You got get rid of five people for me, Colin. Get rid of five people that aren't Suzuki Goon members.
Oh, boy, that aren't Suzuki. Okay, so Yano, he's
gone. Yano's one. Okay.
He's going to be in the unemployment line.
Wow, he's got a bar though.
He's got his own business. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Right. I'm not letting go anybody who, you know, won't be okay.
Very, very kind of you.
Jado, he's got to go.
Yeah, I would agree.
Jado's got to go.
Next.
Oh boy, I hate to do
go
this.
lay the boots.
Tongaloa.
Tongaloa gets the boot. I agree. Listen, I agree.
You're killing one of their big tag teams, but
fuck it, let's implode. Go for it. All right, there's three.
Yep. So who do we have? We've got.
Oh, I got one. Come on.
All right.
Same faction.
As G.O.D.?
Yeah.
Yujiro?
No, no, you're really warm.
Bad Luck Fale?
Nah, you're getting cold.
Oh, shit. Who else is in? Hangman.
There you go.
Yeah, Hangman's gone.
Hold on. just because of his bad attitude toward me.
Yeah. Yeah, he told you to go fuck yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Although. I agree with him.
One more. Give me one more.
Okay.
Come on, you gotta know. Same faction.
Same faction as another Bullet Club member.
Yes.
Who the fuck is in the Bullet Club? Okay, so we're getting rid of Loa. He's gone.
Right.
We're keeping Takahashi and Fale.
Sure. Keep them both.
Okay. We'll keep them both. Getting rid
Actually,
of Hangman.
There's two. Let's get rid of six.
Getting rid of Hangman Page.
Yep.
We're getting rid of Cody.
Oh, we're doing get rid of Cody. I think so too. Here's the thing.
Fuck him.
I think absolutely. I think there's no reason Cody should be taking a spot.
No.
I agree.
But
that's not even on my list. But okay, there's five, and it's the same faction. So the Bone Soldier.
Oh yeah, but how could I forget the elephant in the room besides you?
How fucking dare you,
Bone Soldier? What is he doing? Come on.
And the last but not least, Yoshitatsu.
Oh, Yoshi! Not for nothing, I didn't see this match, but I'm hearing some not-so-stellar reports of his match against Volador Jr. from Mexico this past Friday.
He's done, too. He's done his tour. He's coming back.
Wow.
That was one of his last matches, yeah.
That was quite the tour.
It went over like a fart in church. Yep.
Wow.
He is on his way back, so there's that to look forward to.
So we're cutting Jado, we're cutting Yoshitatsu, we're cutting Tongaloa, we're cutting Cody.
Yeah.
We're cutting Hangman Page.
Yeah.
Who else?
Bone Soldier. Yoshitatsu.
He's gone. Yoshitatsu, gone. There you go. You freed up like seven spaces.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, you need to because you
can't. And 90% of Suzuki-Gun, they're gone too.
Right. Okay. But right. And here's the thing. Then you don't have 900 10-man tags, and you just don't have the room for all this talent.
And Yano, he's gone.
I'm a huge fan. Yano, yeah, you just say Yano. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the Yano. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right.
I would keep Yano, because you can get rid of those other people.
Doesn't Noah need people?
Again, they don't have the relationship anymore, man. That relationship is, those bridges are burnt.
That's a shame, because that means we're never going to see Mara Fuji in New Japan again.
I can't say never. Never say never, but yeah, I mean, the likelihood of him, you know, showing up in a G1 is not that great.
That's a damn shame.
It is a shame.
You know, I've decided that my favorite match from 2016, I wish I can go back and revote, because in the top three, Okada versus Mara Fuji from the G1. That wound up, upon further review, being one of my favorites.
Good match. Listen, outstanding match. But yeah, you're going to miss out on some gems. And here's the thing, too. As much as people shit on the Suzuki-Gun stuff in Noah, these recent houses for Noah have been just abysmal. Like 500 people at Corkin, 600 people at Corkin. It's not what it once was, kids.
I'm not filling the Budokan anymore.
No. Those days are long gone. All right.
Let's finish out this card.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Saber. Yeah, that's going to be good. Okay. So a 10,000 scale of 1 to 10. I'm at 10,000. All right.
8-man tag, we've got Kushida, Juice, Elgin, and Tanahashi taking on LIJ.
Colin, how many fucking times have we seen this
match? I was going to say, have we seen this before?
Jesus Christ,
this sounds familiar.
There's not a show that this match isn't on it. Oh my God, how many times?
I'm saying that either... Kushida or Bushi takes the fall here?
We say it every fucking show!
Because neither of them are in the New Japan Cup.
Right. Colin, here's what I need. I need somebody to do some homework for me.
Okay.
I need somebody to do a little research. And, how many consecutive shows has there been a multi-man LIJ match against either, Elgin, Tanahashi, Kushida, Taguchi, Juice, his body's going in and out of there all the time, but how many fucking shows? Jesus Christ. It's starting to test my patience a little bit here. Yeah, one of the juniors is taking a fall.
Speaking of the juniors, for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, we've got the challenger, Taguchi, taking on the champ, Hiromu Takahashi. Look, we've said it before, and we will say it again. When it is time for Taguchi to deliver in the ring, as was made evident by last year's Best of the Super Juniors, this guy can go. I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be very, very good.
I'm hoping they French kiss.
Hey, finally. I'm open to that.
Yeah. Let me be frank.
Uh-oh. You're not going to be Damon?
I'll be frank.
Okay.
Frank says, I'm not that excited for this.
Really?
I'm not that excited for the Gooch.
Okay.
I don't know. Now,
was it because of the build?
I guess.
Or the lack thereof, maybe?
I mean, they've done everything that they should have done, right? There's really no, they keep, trying to
tongue each other.
Well, yeah. And Taguchi with the ankle lock and, all that. But, and him, Takahashi trying to escape. They've been playing up that.
So they've done all they can do as far as the build goes.
I feel like they have. Okay. I feel like they have.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just not a Taguchi guy. He's good, though. I mean, listen, I know that I'm probably going to see a good match here.
You are. I think you're guaranteed to see a good match.
Why am I not excited for this? Are you excited for it?
I think,
be honest.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Okay.
I'm between top three matches on this card that I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Number one is probably Shibata and Zack Sabre Jr., to be honest.
I am excited for it. I'm definitely excited for that. That's going to be a fresh matchup. That should be good. Predictions on this?
On the Shibata Saber?
Yeah. Prediction?
I'm saying that Saber.
Shibata. No.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, seems like Shibata's been.
Everything that you would think that he would come in hot, win the belt, blah, blah, blah. They never do that.
You're right. As made evident by Ospreay.
Oh, he's the proof in the pudding right there. I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
I think this is different than although Ospreay, they did though.
Although they kind of did that with Takahashi.
They did. They shot him to the moon and back.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm saying Shibata. I'm going Shibata.
Okay, I'm going with Zack Sabre. He gets his belt back. How about Taguchi Takahashi?
Takahashi wins.
Yes, I agree.
Takahashi loses. They would be nuts to put Taguchi. they would be absolutely stone cold nuts.
Yeah.
To do that.
That's not going to happen.
It can't happen, Colin. Can it?
No, it can't happen. No. There's no way. But I think that we're in store for a very maybe surprising match.
I think we're going to have a good match. My excitement level is lower than maybe somebody else put in the Taguchi role, but I know that we're going to be good. There's no title change. Can't possibly happen. The guy's just on fire, or as they like to say, en fuego. I think we're in for a Takahashi win to build on to bigger and brighter days with maybe a Kushida challenge up next. And then keep in mind, the summer's right around the corner, Colin. And you know what that means.
I do know what that means. That means, Damon, a Best of the Super Juniors. And
be tight.
When you think of all the possibilities that they could have this year, we've got Takahashi, we've got hopefully Dragon Lee, bring over Volador Jr. Who else do we got? We've got Kushida.
Ospreay.
We've got Ospreay. We've got Ricochet. We don't have Matt Sydal, unfortunately.
Yeah, we got some talent, man. We got some Takahashi, Kushida.
No O'Reilly this year, which is kind of a
O'Reilly.
But, I mean, the talent that we're talking about, more than makes up. How about, okay, assume that Zack Sabre Jr. is brought in as a junior. You can put him in there.
Yeah, you absolutely could.
Damn.
It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Plus, you know what, maybe you stick, you know, if you wanted to, you could go single match Young Bucks if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could do that.
They've done that before.
Rocky Romero in there.
Beretta, even though he's a super heavyweight.
Right. You know, you could do that. Makabe, put him in there. He was a junior once.
Yeah, he was. That Nakanishi was a junior once.
Yeah, sure, why not?
He does right, that so beautiful cross body, though.
But even then, you could shove Liger in there to lie down for a lot of people.
Liger in there. I think he had a very good best of the Super Juniors last year.
Yeah, that Super Junior is going to be great. So we got that to look forward to. Good stuff there. All right, what else we got here on this show of shows?
And the main event that we did talk about, the Okada versus Tiger Mask W. I told you what I want to happen. Again, we discussed the likelihood of this happening. Not so great.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, actually. Tiger Mask... Okay, Kota Ibushi under this mask... He keeps a lot of the same spots, granted, but he does wrestle differently.
Yeah, he does, and that's what I'm saying. It's handcuffing him.
Right, and that's why you said it before. Enough of this Tiger Mask W shit. We want Kota Ibushi on the horse.
Yes.
With no shirt on.
That's exactly what we want. We want the shirtless, pantless Kota Ibushi on the horse.
Total beefcake Kota Ibushi.
Come on. Jeez. Give the people what they want. It's you know, enough. Enough of the shenanigans. Let's get on with the proper business here. Come on.
And I'll say it again, Damon. I think that's a pretty good booking idea, you know.
I like what you
Tiger
I like
Mask you, W, you know, sneaks a win past Okada. Mask comes off. It's Ibushi. I challenge you, Okada, for the IWGP Heavyweight title.
Let's do it, Colin Miller. I'm all in. I'm all in on that scenario. I think the match is going to be pretty good too.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't think we have too much to worry about with it being a shit match. I think we're going to have a really good match in a main event. Again, let's see what happens. But fingers crossed that we have less W and more on a horse, Kota Ibushi.
Less W, more Kota. So that is your 45th anniversary card. They're actually doing two 45th anniversary shows. There's one at Korakuen on Tuesday the next night. No match lineup for that as of now. But
that's on the world? Do we know if that's on the world?
I don't know if that is on the world.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I would assume it is. I don't see why not. So that's going to be on Tuesday. And this is going to lead us to Saturday, March 11th, the start of the New Japan Cup 2017, and boy, what a lineup we have this year. Damon, you want to go through the brackets?
I want to go through the brackets. That first night, man, there's like three matches that easily on paper I'm fucking super jacked up over, and on paper have me salivating talking about match of the year contenders. Some of them are even, dare I say, dream matchups. Let's rock through these brackets. Let's talk a little bit about this New Japan Cup, which on paper, this first round sounds really fucking nice.
Okay, so first round, first night for the New Japan Cup. First match, okay, we don't know what's going to happen here, but it's supposed to be Honma versus Tonga Loa.
I don't know who would be replacing him.
You could throw in, Yuji Nagata. I don't see why you can't throw him in there.
Yeah, you would have to assume that Honma was, well, I don't know. It was Honma against who? Tonga Loa?
Yes, Tonga Loa.
Listen, I'm going to be surprised if that's a spot for Tonga Loa to get a win. So whoever they're putting in there, you have to kind of think, okay, Tonga Loa might have gotten the win there.
But here's the thing, though. If Tonga Loa were to get the win there, he would either be facing Tanahashi or Evil.
Okay. But then you would have to assume it would be...
I thought that the obvious thing to do there was to have Honma pick up the win, Tanahashi would beat Evil, and then you'd have a nice Tanahashi versus Honma match, but...
Yeah, but I think you might have a Tanahashi-Tonga Loa match.
Okay. I can't say that I'm excited for that, but
well, no, but I would think Tongaloa goes on to the second round, and it's Tanahashi against Evil in the first round, which should be a great match. I think. I think that's going to be a really good match.
Yeah, that's going to be your main event, actually. Then we've got Yano.
I'm going to be honest with you. Wait, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I don't think it's a slam dunk that Tanahashi wins at it.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't think it's a slam dunk. Because if you think of the New Japan Cup, it is, I always like to say, G1's not here to make new stars, even though they made new stars last year. New Japan Cup kind of is. New Japan Cup kind of is.
Well, we're going to talk about our dark horses here in a moment. I think we should talk about the obvious.
Okay.
And we should talk about the dark horses, but let's just go through the rest of the card here.
Okay.
Okay, so again, it's opening up with, you know, whoever's, you know, maybe Honma versus Tongaloa. Then we've got Toru Yano versus Tama Tonga. Yes, you heard me correctly.
Okay. I'm going to say Yano ball shot.
Okay. Yano ball shot. I'm going to say gun stun.
Okay. All right. All right, and then what else we got?
Then we've got Elgin versus Bad Luck Fale. This should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah. Fale needs the right guy.
He does.
You think Elgin's that kind of guy?
I think Elgin could be that kind of guy.
Could be.
Now, whoever wins that match is going to face the winner of the Yano versus Tama Tonga match.
All right. I think Elgin wins.
And then goes on to face Tama Tonga.
You're saying Tama Tonga. I'm saying Yano.
Because I want to go for some match quality here. You know what I mean?
I'd love to, too, but they don't always go that way.
They don't. Now, Elgin versus Tama Tonga could be a good match.
Could be. I don't think they've ever wrestled in a singles match.
No, I don't believe so. And that's something that I would want to see. I think Tama Tonga is an excellent singles competitor.
I think he's a good singles competitor.
He's good. You're right.
Okay. I still think Yano wins, though.
Okay. And then
Elgin
wow.
beats Yano.
Wouldn't it be something if Yano made it all the way?
That would be surprised. Listen, that would not surprise me.
Oh, my God.
All right, so then what else we got?
And then, of course, the main event, Tanahashi versus Evil. So that's for night one.
I think it's going to be a good match. I don't think it's a slam dunk Tanahashi gets out of that first round. I really don't.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we go over the second card here. We'll go over all possible scenarios. So second night, which is going to be Sunday, March 12th. Thank God these shows are on a weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
We have got Juice versus Yujiro. Juice has got to go over Yujiro, right?
Yeah. Right? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought so.
Yes.
We've got Yoshihashi versus Sanada. That should be a good match.
It should be a good match. I think we're looking at a Sanada win, right?
I think so.
Okay.
We've got Shibata versus Minoru Suzuki.
Holy shit. That's going to be nice. That's really going to be a fucking...
That's a G1 caliber match right there.
Yeah. That's an outstanding match.
Come on. Shibata versus Suzuki.
Who you got?
Ah, man. I am going to go with... I think I'm going to go with Suzuki.
Yeah, I'm going Suzuki.
I'm going to go with Suzuki, man.
Yeah, I'm going Suzuki too. Okay, next.
And the main event, I'm giving this 7 stars already, right out of the gate. Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenny Omega.
And that's all one show.
Yeah.
That's one show.
That's one show, boys and girls.
Give him that last 3 matches, Colin. Just to get everybody squared away.
Okay.
Give me those last 3 matches.
Last 3 matches, Yoshihashi versus Sanada.
Should be good.
Yes, should be good. Shibata versus Suzuki.
Woo-wee. Go ahead.
And Ishii versus Omega. Yet again, one of Omega's dream opponents who he talked about on that Observer interview.
That's going to be a fucking great night of pro wrestling.
How could it not be?
damn it, the hell. Wow. Oh, wee. Well, I'm going to go Omega, but what's the ceiling?
The star ceiling for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they can pull off a fiver?
I have no doubt they can pull off a fiver.
Yeah. Damn, that's a fucking great... Those last two matches.
I don't want to jinx it, but I think that we are looking at possibly two match of the year candidates.
How can they not be?
On that night.
I mean, listen. Shibata and Suzuki... I mean, listen. It has the possibility of being absolutely off the charts tremendous. Or being really, really good. And I think that's the low part. That's the floor. Very, very good, right? There's no way this is going to be like... there's no way we're going to come back next week and be like, that was all right. Right? There's no way.
No.
And then Ishii and Omega. The floor is ejaculate. Right?
Right. Just covered. Just, right. I mean,
that's the floor.
You're going to need to get out the Clorox wipes, you know, that you do the counters with.
Right. I have a bottom right there.
Me too.
The ceiling is match of the year talk, right? That's the ceiling. And let's be truthful. Somebody hasn't had the best of year so far, right?
And we know who that somebody is.
Somebody might want to say, I need to put a little bit of a stamp on my 2017, and here's where this is going to happen. And that's going to happen with Kenneth. Right?
I thought you were going the other way.
Omega had the fucking dome, dude.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He had a good year.
Well, right. But I'm saying Ishii hasn't had a great year.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah, Ishii's the guy that's kind of lost in the mix, right? Ishii's the guy that we talk about every year of having, you know, wrestler of the year-esque years and, you know, underrated. And but now this year he's come out of the gate a little sluggish in this tag strap.
And that's what I'm saying. Why not just drop these tag titles to Tenkozy? They can have a nice little run and Ishii will be geared up and ready. And you know what? Maybe that's why Ishii's year has been so slow so far. He's been kind of building, you know, conserving his energy.
Possibly.
For this cup.
This match. This cup and these type of scenarios, right? These type of things. Again, he's the guy that every single year was taped up, you know, wrapped up like a mummy going out there and killing himself, right? The guy needs a break sometime. So, okay, if it's January 1 to, you know, March 5th, 6th, whatever. I'm okay with this. Okay, I'm okay with this. But now here's a perfect opportunity to really let it shine. I can't imagine this not being just fantastic. So, again, fingers crossed for greatness. I think we got three matches here that have the potential of being, at the very least, really, really good.
And these
are... At the most, we're talking about these at the end of the year.
And both of these nights, ladies and gentlemen, next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I cannot wait. Let's talk about the obvious winners for this and maybe the dark horses, if you will. I'll start off. Obvious finale for me, you have Tanahashi versus Omega. Omega wins. And then Damon. If this Tiger Mask scenario plays out the way I would like it to,
right,
you could maybe have Ibushi defeat Okada, perhaps.
Oof. That's then, asking a lot.
Then Omega, you know, he wins the New Japan Cup. Then you've got your Ibushi versus Omega match at, I don't know, Dominion?
I don't think you do that.
I don't think you do it either, but
I don't think you do that.
That is one of the possible scenarios here. I think everybody
was kind of circling the New Japan Cup of Kenny Omega winning this, right?
Right.
I think the majority of people were in the Kenny Omega camp coming back from his little rest and relaxation after Wrestle Kingdom.
His sabbatical.
Circling the New Japan Cup for a triumphant return and him winning. I think a lot of people did that. And truth be told, that's probably the most logical way to go in this. So he would be my favorite to win.
Now, how about some dark horses? And you mentioned one. We were chatting a little bit earlier in the week, and you had mentioned the name of one Seiya Sanada.
I think that this is a perfect opportunity for a guy who is a little bit under the radar right now. He's in a hot faction, of course. But again, I don't think that he's he would have the most to gain from a New Japan Cup win.
I agree.
To me. Like, he would be – that would help elevate him strongly.
Do you think that they know what they have with Sanada currently?
Yes. Yeah.
You do? Okay.
I think – yeah, I do. And I think that in from everything that I've heard, it's he's being groomed as a top guy. Here's the weird thing about LIJ, though. Naito is arguably the hottest guy in that promotion. Top to bottom.
I would agree.
An MVP type of pro wrestler.
Meltzer said that he feels that he should have won Wrestler of the Year.
I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree with that. But okay, that's neither here nor there. The weird thing about LIJ is that they also have two guys that are, I feel, are in very similar, and maybe even Evil is a notch above in the pecking order, but they have two guys that are really at any moment they could break out, right? At any moment it feels like Sanada and Evil could really make a big move and be at the front and center of some pretty decent feuds with some top quality guys. And I think you're kind of getting your palate wet with Evil and Tanahashi. And I think it's Sanada. I think Sanada
a standout member.
Yeah, I really feel that. So maybe this is the vehicle in which that happens.
By the way, one of the potential matchups that we could be looking at. Okay, so let's say that Omega defeats Ishii. Mm-hmm. And let's say Sanada defeats Yoshihashi. We could be looking at Omega versus Sanada.
How about that?
How about that?
That's a Colin Miller match right there.
That's a Colin Miller match and a half.
Yeah. So I think even if Sanada, here's what I will say. Even if Sanada doesn't walk away with the cup, even if he's not the guy that challenges,
he's going to be an MVP.
Yeah. I think this is a coming out party. I think this is a coming out party for a guy who desperately needs it, desperately has the ability for it. This could be one of those moments where you talk about, you know how everybody talked about Omega after G1? This might be one of those moments where people like to throw around that term, you're sleeping on this guy. You're sleeping. I sleep on a bed, by the way.
Of nails. Remember that Bon Jovi song, Bed of Roses?
I do.
I think it's a great song.
Bed of Roses.
I love the guitar in that song. I miss Richie Sambora. It's a shame he left.
Oh, I thought you meant he died.
No. He's doing quite well, actually. But
is he?
Yeah.
Is he still playing with Bon Jovi?
No. He left.
Oh, did he?
He left, and he is dating a very very attractive female guitar player by the name of Orianthe. She's Australian.
Sure. Yeah.
You should check her out. She's a great guitar player.
Yeah. She has
an easy on the eyes.
Okay.
So good for Richie. I didn't mean to go off on a Richie Sambora tangent. I apologize. Where
but
were
Sanada? I can't believe we're talking about Richie Sambora. The only thing I remember about Richie Sambora is that like fedora hat that he always wears.
Yes. Yes.
The big long brimmed one. Like, why would you wear that
hat? He's an underrated player, by the way. Let me just tell you. He doesn't get like any credit as a guitar player. He's come up with some tasty riffs.
Look, what I don't know. What do I know?
Nothing.
I really don't know much. I really not about that anyway. I know what I like. I think Bernard Butler. If anybody knows Bernard Butler, I think Bernard Butler's one of the greatest guitars.
No,
you don't know.
Nobody knows him.
Nobody. Everybody should. Fucking great.
All right.
I went to a Bernard Butler concert. So he was the guitarist for Suede, right?
Suede.
That's right. 90s Britpop, baby. And so he left Suede and he did this solo tour. And you're at a concert, right? And he was so arrogant, right? So it was an acoustic set with Bernard Butler, right? And so he's up on stage and they had, like, he wouldn't play. Like people were, you're at a concert and there's a bar in the back and everything. It's a real small venue. He wouldn't play until everybody was silent.
Wow. Like, I take some balls.
I swear to you. And the place had to be complete. You could hear, he wouldn't play unless there was a pin drop. So needless to say, between songs, there's like a 15-minute break. Because people are...
It's almost like a teacher in front of a classroom really waiting for everyone to quiet right. down.
Right. So
I'm
he could
waiting.
Play solo hits. That's exactly what it was. It was, I'm waiting. Oh, Bernard. All right. Oh, Bernie. Where were we, Colin?
Coming out party for Sonata. Possible Sonata Omega match. Possible. Yes, oh, my God. Yes. So many great possibilities here in this match. I mean, and let's say Suzuki defeats Shibata, and let's say Juice defeats Yujiro. We can have Suzuki versus Juice. That'd be a good match for Juice.
Definitely a learning experience. That's fucking sure.
Yeah, an ankle-breaking experience. Yeah. And then we can have, we can have Suzuki versus Omega? Good Lord.
Look, there's a lot that can happen that could really make this a New Japan Cup to remember. There's a lot of possibilities and scenarios where the matchups could be really nice.
And
really nice. And again, that's New Japan talent, man. I hate to pump the chest here because we do a New Japan podcast, Colin.
We do.
Yeah. And a Richie Sambora podcast.
Yes, a Bon Jovi podcast.
Bernard Butler podcast. Listen, you can have a tournament like this, and it's an easy thing to have great matches. I hate to say it, but we have so much talent on this roster. It's an easy thing. You could throw names in the air and the brackets just lay out and you're going to be like, oh my God, you're going to have this match. It's quite a time. It's quite a time. Also, you know, it speaks volumes as well with, here's a nice segue, Colin. You know, with New Japan winning promotion of the year for the fifth consecutive year in a row.
Damon, you read my mind. That's exactly where I was going next. See, this is why we're such a well-oiled machine here on the PuroCast. You can, we play off of each other nicely. And you're right, New Japan Pro Wrestling, fifth year in a row, best promotion.
As voted by the Wrestling Observer readers.
Yep. Right. Yep. Should I go through all of the New Japan winners here really quick?
Yeah, why don't we? It's March 5th. Let's do the year-end awards for Dave.
Yeah, good job, Dave. Thanks for finally picking the time to tally up all these votes.
Look, the poor guy. Jeez. He's a workaholic, I'm sure. But and I'm sure it was a daunting task. But yeah, it's fucking March 5th, Dave. Come on. All right. Yeah.
So again, best promotion, New Japan, fifth year in a row. Best match, Okada versus Tanahashi from Wrestle Kingdom 10. This is the third win for Hiroshi Tanahashi since 2012 and the second for Okada.
And if I'm not mistaken, New Japan has won match of the year. Is it 5 years in a row now? Might be 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I think it is 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing. We talk about the artistic renaissance and New Japan leading the way.
Yeah, we say it all the time.
Here's the proof in the pudding.
Yep.
Right? Match of the year consistently voted on by the readers of the Big Dave promotion. Once again, taking the top spot. And if I'm not mistaken, Colin, in that category, it was them. When I say them, Tanahashi Okada from the Dome. It was Naito Omega, right?
Yep.
And it was Ishii Omega.
Yeah.
Ishii Okada, right?
Yeah, Ishii Okada. Those are your top three there.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say? And even for Wrestler of the Year, I know AJ won that one, right?
He won Wrestler of the Year for the second year, and he won Most Outstanding Wrestler for the third year. So
Yeah. I mean, good for him. I mean, that's... But here's the thing, and again, I'm not shitting on AJ here.
No.
I'm not shitting on AJ, but who was second, third, fourth, fifth, right?
Well, that's
Omega,
the thing. Like
Okada, right, Naito.
There were a lot of votes that were kind of split.
Yeah, so you could have gone with any one of those guys. And really, there's only one WWE guy that you could have possibly gone with, and that was AJ. And proof of that is the next closest WWE guy was what, ninth? And it was like Kevin Owens,
yeah, it was
right?
Kevin Owens coming in at number nine.
Right. So, again,
number
a lot
nine?
Of...
Number nine, sorry.
I got you. So, again, not making excuses. It's well-deserved. He has some fantastic matches. He's the top guy in the biggest company in the world. Good on him. But just saying, there's a lot of talent on... That's where the talent came back to bite them in the ass, to be honest with you. That's where the talent went.
I still probably would have voted for AJ anyway, by the way.
But I honestly, I didn't. I voted Naito.
You voted Naito? Okay.
I mean, AJ, I think, got my second. Yeah, I think AJ got my second. I think I went Naito, AJ, Omega.
AJ is the only wrestler who did a springboard 450 through a table with split pants. I just want to point that out.
Well, that's deserving of an award of epic proportions.
Exactly. His ass was hanging out, and he
Good for him. Listen, that shows you what kind of a pro he is. It wasn't a torn shoulder. It was a split in his pants. So he worked with that. Hey, very good.
Yep. Best weekly TV show, New Japan World Pro Wrestling on Access.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised at that. Not to say that...
I wasn't.
Well, I mean, listen, these matches are old. But I think that the way they put them together, I'm not the biggest Jim Ross guy. I think Jim Ross's better days were definitely, you know, Mid-South, UWF. Yeah, that's where I really think he was at his best. I think he does a okay job on the Access TV show. But I was a little surprised. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, pound for pound, I mean, what other weekly episodic pro wrestling television show that delivers wrestling, professional wrestling in the ring on that level? You can't name one.
I agree.
Monday Night Raw?
No, come on. No, I agree. That's where they won. That's where they took it. And, you know, this year, NXT was nowhere near what it's been in the past. Lucha Underground has fallen by the wayside.
Which is on Netflix now, by the way. I'm just learning this.
Yeah. I was never a big Lucha Underground guy. I thought some of the stuff was just the monsters and come on.
I might check it out just for fun. Like, what the hell?
Speaking of checking out just for fun, you know what Eric and the boys at Real Hero just put up?
What's that?
Was the entire run, every single show that's been broadcasted from Hustle, the Japanese promotion Hustle. That was some crazy fucking shit. That was like Japan's answer to Attitude Era WWE.
Really? Yeah. Wow. I can only imagine.
So you had Nobuhiko Takada as this general. You ever watch, in the United States, it's called MXE, a Most Extreme something.
Yes,
it was on
yes.
like Spike, and it was like these two comedians overdubbing over... What was it called? Takahashi's Castle or something Castle? But it was like all these different teams. Like you would have a team of like 20 on each side, and they would go through this obstacle course that was just like some of the falls and spills that these people would take were unbelievable.
Wasn't Kota Ibushi on that show?
No, you're thinking of American Ninja.
Okay.
You're thinking of American Ninja. This was a little bit more goofy. Like they would like in this show, they would have to like go up a hill, and there would be like these giant boulders and like these dress up monsters attacking them, or they would have to like sprint, and there would be like five walls, right? So there'd be like a set of walls like every 10 yards, and they would have to pick they would all have like a door or what looked like a door. So one of them was like paper, so you could go through, and then you go through the next set, but only one of those doors were paper doors. The other one were like legitimately locked doors. So they would run full force into the wall. It's bam, right? So anyway, he looked like that general. Nobuhiko Takada. This was the famous angle of where Muda sprays mist. Hear me out, Colin. I don't know if you're familiar with this. So he sprays mist into a girl's crotch. right?
Okay, I'm following.
Okay. The girl winds up being pregnant, right?
This is some Mae Young shit.
Right. So the young woman winds up being pregnant from Muta's mist, right? So every week they would have this egg. It was like the gobbledygooker, right? They would have this egg that they would show that apparently was taken from the womb of this woman, right? So they would have this woman or this egg that was waiting to hatch. The thing that came out of the egg was Akibono.
Oh, my God.
So
okay.
Akibono played a child.
Okay.
And
we've got to stop recording. I've got to go watch this.
It is the greatest thing ever. If you're into that. Aja Kong. Are you familiar with Aja Kong?
Yeah.
How just beefy and mean. She played the role of a girl named Erica. Right? Right? Kawada. You've watched a little All Japan, right?
Sure.
He was like this, I don't want to say pop singer, but he was like in this like gold lame tracksuit kind of thing. And he would be like a pop singer. He would be singing. Just mind-blowing stuff from guys. Here's the thing with Hustle. What Hustle did was it extended the career and he gave paychecks to guys who couldn't perform physically at the level that they once could, but they gave them an opportunity to kind of do this goofy thing that kind of took off. The most famous thing to come out of Hustle was that Akibono thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So check it out on the Real Hero Archive, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Hustle.
Hustle.
If any of this sounds appealing to you.
Yeah, so that's there. Okay, we're all over the place, Colin. I apologize. Where are we now?
Well, just to finish up these Observer Awards for New Japan, Best Major Show, Wrestle Kingdom Year. And again, this is the fifth year in a row that NJPW won Best Major Show. I mean, that says it all.
Bucks, right? Tag team?
Yep, Bucks Tag Team of the Year. Booker of the Year, Ghetto. Brawler of the Year, Tomohiro Ishii for the third year running.
If we're counting just March up into March, he's gonna have trouble defending that crown. So hopefully he picks it up from here. All right, anybody else?
Yep. So
need to know about?
So Bucks third year in a row. We said that best high flyer Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay. I think that was a slam dunk, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on. Best wrestling move Kenny Omega's one winged angel.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other. Move.
I can think of lots of cool moves, but the thing
that hasn't been bastardized.
Correct. That's it. That's the key.
I mean, there was no chance of the Styles Clash winning again because I think everybody has kicked out of the Styles Clash.
Right. James Ellsworth kicking out three times a
yes.
match.
Oh my god, that fucking promotion.
Good times. Good times. All right.
Damn
what
it.
Else we got? Anybody else?
Worst gimmick: Bone Soldier.
Yeah. Haven't seen him around lately.
No, and maybe if some of the New Japan brass were listening to our segment on who should get the axe.
Yeah. Listen. Well, who knows who listens to this show?
Yeah.
All right.
And that is
good.
It for your Observer Awards. New Japan really cleaning up. I mean, how could you argue that? Oh, and they. Okay, I went over that. They won Best Promotion. There was some controversy over that with a lot of people saying UFC. But quite frankly, I don't even think I might piss off some people here, but I don't think
Uh-oh.
That MMA.
Oh, hot take, Colin, everyone.
I don't think MMA should be in any of these categories.
I'm on the fence. To be honest with you, I'm kind of on the fence.
It's
it is a promotion,
right?
It is a promotion. It's not pro wrestling, but it's combat-y
boring.
Sports, and they kind of want to do the same thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Same business model, I guess that's.
Yeah, I'm not. To me, they should be separate. But I'm not gonna.
We need separation of pro wrestling and MMA. Maybe our president can get on that.
Maybe he can. I'm sure he's got bigger fish to fry, I hope.
Well,
I hope he does.
I hope so, too, for all our sakes.
We read a tweet tomorrow. MMA and pro wrestling should be separate. Sad.
you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
Me neither. All right. So that's the Observer Awards. All right,
yeah.
Good. What else we got today? We're cutting through them. We're cutting through it like a machete.
One last thing, Damon, and I think that this is going to excite a lot of people. This was just announced.
Kota Ibushi on a horse.
Hopefully we have Kota Ibushi on a horse to look forward to in our future. But Fire Pro Wrestling has officially returned. Fire Pro Wrestling World coming out in the second quarter of 2017. It's going to be available on PS4 as well as PC. And Damon, I've been throwing around the idea in my mind of, wouldn't it be cool if we had a Purocast Fire Pro Wrestling League?
Well, I look, again, as I explained to you earlier off the air, I don't actually play the game. Like, as absolutely head exploding as this sounds, I let the computer sim matchups. So I'll just like say, oh, would it be cool to have Onita and Baba against Stan Hansen and, you know, Brock Lesnar? You know, it's just,
that sounds
just
great.
Wacky, right? And then I would just let the computer sim it. And the game is so good, and it's so, I dare I say, realistic, and it takes into real consideration the strengths and weaknesses of the wrestlers, that it's entertaining to just watch, to see what happens, and to actually get excited for kickouts and near falls. And that's really how I enjoy playing Fire Pro Wrestling. And is, I have a notebook. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm 40-something years old. But I have a notebook.
Sometimes I can't believe it either.
Right. I'm a child. Of like matches and like cards that I'll put. I'm embarrassed.
Didn't you book like a world tag league?
I booked the G1.
This is great.
Yeah, I did. So that's
who won,
yeah.
By the way.
Who did? Jumbo Surita.
Wow.
Jumbo Surita won. Yeah. Jumbo, who's in the finals? It was Jumbo against Road Warrior Hawk.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a final.
What a final it was. So there you go.
You're going to be able to play online with this version. And
that sounds good, but I don't play it that way. Like I play video games as stupid as somebody could play. Like Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto, I just like taking a motorcycle and a machine gun and just like plowing people. like I don't do any of the missions. I just, listen, I have the cheat code to get unlimited weapons. I have the cheat code to have, you know, no stars. And I just go into strip clubs and just plug people. But, you know, it's, you know, listen, if they're a long day at work, there's nothing like climbing to a top of a building with a rifle in a video game. And, you know,
in a video game, we want to stress that.
Let me be very clear here. In a video game. It's just, I don't know, just stupid. It's just silly fun. But yeah, I'll take a motorcycle and I'll just jump over shit. But I don't do like the missions like that. I'm not going to deliver the drugs. I'm going to fucking just zone out and have some fun. So no, I probably wouldn't use the online thing. I don't need a 12-year-old telling me how much of a twat I am. You know,
you deal with that anyway.
Yeah, slurs. I don't need to be yelled slurs over the internet.
Well, look, if one of our listeners out there has an old PS4 that they're not doing anything with, or, you know, you know somebody who has a good deal on a PS4, because I don't play video games. I'm not a gamer, but this is something that I would be interested in playing. And like I said, possibly starting up a league, since that is going to be one of the features on this Fire Pro Wrestling World. So send us a message, shoot us a tweet, and let me know.
Let me know if you want to give me a PS4.
Essentially, that is what I'm saying. Since I would never go out and buy one.
Yeah, no, probably not. Yeah, we'll get a GoFundMe up for Colin's PS4. All right. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I did see that. I'm sorry, I'm having microphone issues. I'm sort of the rumbling. Yeah, I did see that. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm excited for that as well. All right, so we got a lot of good pro wrestling coming up, Colin. We have interesting shows coming up, and we have wonderful video games. Is there anything else we need to cover on this expanded edition of the Purecast?
Damon, I think that about wraps it up. All I can say is, boy, what a time to be alive when you're going to be watching Omega versus Ishii and playing Fire Pro Wrestling World. What more could you ask for?
Kota Ibushi on a horse.
Kota Ibushi on a horse. There you go.
All right. Very good. I have that already, by the way. All right. So life is good. Life is good. All right. Wrap it up into a bow. Colin Miller.
All righty. So once again, folks, thank you for always listening to each and every new episode. We apologize for the little break there last week, but we hope that this jam-packed edition of the PuroCast more than made up for it. And remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. You can listen to each and every new episode directly on there as it is uploaded in real time. Of course, links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher. And you can also listen to us usually every Monday afternoon on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Remember, voicesofwrestling.com. Lots of great shows on there. And of course, we want to thank our great new sponsor, Gaijincollectibles.com. Go there, check it out for all of your Japanese puroresu merchandise needs. And I think that about does it. Damon, any final thoughts?
No, go check them out. Go buy your merch. Help us out. Help them out. They're good people over there, and they deserve your business. And again, you're getting merchandise straight from the source. So what could be better? No, that is it for me. A lot of good pro wrestling to catch up on. Wrap up the show.
All righty, Damon. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We will catch you guys next weekend to talk all about the first two nights of the New Japan Cup 2017. We'll catch you then.